For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning, Bodhisattvas.
Good morning.
I'd like to just thank everyone for your generosity in your practice and in sponsoring this babbling that I'm about to erupt with. And I feel, sitting this morning, I really felt gratitude to Tygon and to Ancient Dragon and to so many people in this world who support what we're doing in this Bodhisattva generosity generator here at Ancient Dragon. So, thank you. As Tygon did mention, first and foremost in the transcendent practices of the Bodhisattva is generosity, giving, caring, offering. So I thought maybe we could explore this a little bit together. I think it is maybe the source of all of Buddhist practice. And in the end, that's maybe all that's left, is just giving, surrendering, rendering to the world our love. Just a couple technical details. Most of you, I think, are familiar with the practice of the paramitas, which are sort of part of the training program of bodhisattvas. Bodhisattva careers sort of last throughout many, many lifetimes, so there's a lot of work to be done in all these things, but there's sort of six traditional practices, right? Generosity, dana paramita, morality or ethical conduct, sila paramita, patience, profound patience, kshanti paramita, kind of an enthusiasm for practice that never wanes, virya paramita, the perfection of meditation, dhyana paramita, which is our zazen that we just enjoyed with each other not too long ago, and then the perfection of wisdom of the Buddhas, prajnaparamita, which maybe all of our activity gets soaked in that kind of wisdom. And sometimes there's four other paramitas, skillful means, vow, powers and knowledge, but the six are probably a pretty good start, and they're found all over the place in Mahayana, that is our school of Buddhism. But even maybe one of the earliest practices that lay people and monks all shared in the early days of Buddha was giving. You know, in the traditional early Buddhism, lay people gave to the monks. The monks didn't work, and if you go to Southeast Asia, still to this day, those begging bowls that look sort of like that bell we have, you know, monks walk around and the lay people give to the monks. You know, they feed them. Monks don't work or handle money, typically speaking. And so, you know, in the old days, you could say it was one way for a lay person to really participate was through giving. And then the monks, of course, gave the teaching and got to hang out in meditation. But we sort of expanded that principle in later Buddhism. So most of monks in our school work and cook their food and take care of the temple and those kinds of things. But people still give. And the monks still give. So that's sort of a little preamble. thought I'd read you something just to get you in the mood, the generosity mood. From the Flower Ornament Sutra, which is a compendium of bodhisattva practices. So if you ever feel kind of bored with your practice, why don't you just pick up a copy of the Flower Ornament Sutra and open any page and recite it, and it'll give you a few hints to help us develop this boundless mind of awareness and awakening. It's abundant mind. So this is just a tiny paragraph that teaches us a little bit about giving. It says, people who want to live for the benefit of all beings, aka bodhisattvas, have 10 kinds of pure giving. Impartial giving, which means not discriminating among sentient beings. Giving according to wishes, satisfying others. It's a beautiful idea, right? Satisfying others, so that people feel fully complete and don't need or want anything anymore, right? So that's an antidote to grasping. Satisfying others. Unconfused giving. Causing benefit to be gained. Giving appropriately. Knowing superior, inferior, and mediocre. Giving without dwelling. Not seeking reward. So it's a kind of wholehearted giving, you know, not dwelling in a realm of trying to get something or control someone. Open giving. This is giving without clinging or attachment. Total giving. Being ultimately pure. You can figure out what that means for yourself. What does that mean to be ultimately pure? Giving dedicated to enlightenment. So transcending the created and uncreated. Giving to teach sentient beings, never abandoning them. Giving with the three, it's giving's three spheres, pure, the three wheels. Observing the giver, receiver, and gift with right awareness. As being like space. So based on these principles, enlightening beings, or all of y'all, can accomplish the supreme, pure, magnanimous giving of the Buddhas. So I know, it's a little paragraph, but I read this morning before I sat in meditation, and I encourage you to meditate and contemplate on these teachings. So I think what I'd like to ask everyone to do is to just, you know, if you're not already hanging out in a comfortable meditation posture, I'd like us to kind of meditate together on generosity. So I guide you through a little meditation. So if you can assume a comfortable position, and some of you might not be so comfortable after sitting cross-legged for whatever time we sat. So find it just a comfortable place that you can kind of sustain awareness and some uprightness and relaxed and aware. It might be helpful to just close your eyes, which we normally don't do, but to kind of go inside yourself a little bit and breathe naturally. Just allow your mind to be open and receptive to generosity. Bring images and memories and your own experiences of generosity into your awareness. Maybe you can remember what was the most generous gift you've ever received. Who gave that to you? Who was the giver? what was that bodhisattva like? That person who provided a wondrous gift. What were their qualities? What was the gift you received? How did you receive it? What is the feeling of receiving? And remember that feeling. So then, look inside your own heart and find your own generosity, your own nature of giving. Remember the most generous action you've ever performed. How did that occur? What was the source of that generosity for you? What was your offering? What did you give? And who did you honor with that gift? Who was the recipient? And what feeling, internal experience, consciousness, awareness, do you have when you remember this? And the quality of your heart and mind when you give. Where does that feeling come from? Where does it go? So maybe you can sort of open your eyes and we can sort of share a little with each other. I mean, I'm curious if it was easy to do, if it was hard to do, what you found out about yourself or how you view this practice of generosity. Anybody like to share something? Yeah.
Oh, an example of generosity?
Yeah, what you came up with.
I remember when I was 14 or so, I took a trip to a dangerous neighborhood by myself, you know, where I didn't usually go and things like that. And I was kind of like on the rampant transit line and all. And there were a few folks around, and one fellow kind of checked me out and started moving over as towards me, as though, you know, looked like it was going to be more than, you know, just saying hi. But then another guy on my side of the platform came over and started talking to me. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of intervened, and whatever the other fellow had in mind didn't happen. You know, mm-hmm. And so that kind of jumps out as a something that was generosity on the part of somebody else that that I still remember. Mm-hmm. So, and so appreciation for whatever did not occur. So
you were protected.
Was that?
You were protected.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. I was, you know, just sort of 14 or so. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of so I kind of remember that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah, there's a Buddha's hand gesture like this you'll see on some iconography that is the mudra, hand gesture of protection or fearlessness. Sounds like you're also grateful.
I'm sorry?
That you felt grateful, a sense of gratitude for the person.
Yes, I did. I mean, it didn't hit me right away, you know, but then afterward I realized that this fellow had taken special actions on my behalf, you know, and the, so yeah, that was, I was definitely appreciative and grateful afterward. So.
What else came up for people? How about your own generosity? Anybody willing to admit to that?
Well, you know, it was easier to think of, I thought of three explicit examples of generosity towards me, but it was more difficult to think of my acts of generosity. Explicit examples, anyway. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But afterwards, they sort of one or two came to, one or two explicit examples came to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? That there's, I think this is one way to kind of explore what the blocks are, like to our own generosity, or even accepting our own nature as generous. Sometimes also like what it feels like to receive a gift. People push that away. You know, like, well, I don't want to need anything. I may be vulnerable then. Eek! So thanks for that. So that's what we practice with, right? Is that that kind of resistance? You know, like we notice it, like, oh, that was kind of hard for me to actually realize that I could be generous. What's up with that? You know, bodhisattvas are supposed to be like, you've heard that passage, like this huge amount of generosity, this widest space, and I can't even find one little instance in some. You know, so that's a way of exploring and kind of, this is a process, maybe a purification of removing obstructions from our true nature expressing itself. Any other comments people would like to share? A little shy, you're Dawn.
I've always done a lot of volunteer work, and so I kind of like that, because I kind of kept coming up with like gifts. I really like to give people gifts, but then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about like the volunteer work. Like that's kind of generous too, I guess, because it's, you know, because it is. But one place is a hedgehog refuge, and that was like the coolest experience, to hang out with the hedgehogs. Because then you get to know each little individual hedgehog and their name, and then, like, I don't know, it's, like, really cool. And a lot of them come in sick because they're not taken care of properly, as people, and, you know, end up not wanting them, even though they're so sweet. And and then this one man is, like, taking care of this huge, you know, thing. And like, so he's so, you know, generous for just, I don't even know how he does it, but, and he's still up and going, you know, in Colorado. So it's just like this crazy, it's a lot of work, you know, and just very sweet, and these animals are so sweet, and yeah, so I think that was kind of a neat thing. But yeah, I forget that like volunteer work is kind of a generous thing, and really just wanting to do it, and like wanting to just hang out with these animals, because that's really all they want, is to hang out with people, I think, or maybe not people, but at least, you know,
need
to be taken care of. So.
Little hedgies.
Yeah, just except for a couple of them.
But you're generous to those as well.
Oh, yeah.
So animals, you know, bodhisattva generosity is transcendent. It does not discriminate, as the sutra said. Animals, generous to our material world,
I don't know if I can put this into words, though. I'm sitting here thinking about it. With giving, there always needs to be two parties, because somebody has to receive. Mm. And we know, as in Bodhisattva practice, we try to give without thinking of the result of our giving. Like, for example, the stereotypical expression of that is a homeless person or an alcoholic on the street. People always argue about, well, I'll give them money and I don't really care what they're doing with it because it's the point that I've given them money. And then that's it. I've given them money and then that's the end of the act. Where others will argue, well, if I give them money, I don't want them to go and buy more alcohol because then they're destroying themselves. So we all know these kind of arguments. So I would imagine that most of us in this room try to give without thinking about those kind of results. You know, give and that's the end of it. That interchange between two people. But I found with myself, and I try to give like this, that I still want at least a recognition of appreciation. And so then I find I struggle with that at times, that if I feel I'm being generous to somebody, if they're not even recognizing that I am being generous, I still get stuck there. You know, and I would imagine if you really had a big heart, it wouldn't matter, you know? But I just was looking for comments from people on their experience about that in large and small ways. At least for a moment, we want to, even from the alcoholic on the street, if we give him a dollar, we want a glimmer of appreciation in his eyes when we do this, you know? So it's just a general comment if anyone has any insight to that or struggle with it. Or
thank you, Paul.
Came for me, but I was just thinking about, right as you started to speak, I was thinking about how we can be generous to ourselves. And then you said, you have to have another, basically, to be generous. There has to be this exchange. But it's interesting that we can be generous with ourselves and actually experience that generosity and gratitude towards ourselves, you know, when we may be running ourselves ragged and we say, okay, I'm going to settle, I'm going to take a bath. You give that to yourself, and you can receive it and be thankful to yourself, you know? So it sort of points towards another aspect of this aspect of giving, that we are myriad. We are, what's the Walt Whitman quote? I am
vast, I contain multitudes. I contain
multitudes. Yeah, so we contain multitudes. And so we can also, when we give and we see one of our multitudes that wants the accolades, the recognition or something, we can maybe be generous towards that self even that wants that and say, no, that's okay, you want that. The one of yourselves can say to that self, I recognize that you do that. There's some way to think about it, but I think we have to be easy on ourselves too and not, you know, not hold ourselves up to some, you know, obviously these, I think intentionally, like the Avatam Sagar, the following the sutra, these sutras and these ideals, they're way beyond us. We can't live up to them in a literal way.
Quiet
times and places. So, you know, it's this art, it's very artful. We have to be very artful, generous with ourselves.
I have one man that I donate to, right? And because otherwise I can't, it's too much. I feel guilty and I feel weird and I don't know how to give money and who to. But then I don't even give money to him. When I see him, I give him granola bars. And then, because that's my deal, because usually I don't have cash, right? So. And whether he's generous or not, I think, well, at least he's got, or whether he gives me, because sometimes he'll say thanks and sometimes he won't. And because sometimes he probably thinks granola bars really suck. But I think that, you know, like, I think, well, and it's not that, oh, a pat on the back, but I think, well, at least he'll have something to eat. Like, if he does, hopefully, like, that's, I think it's for nutrition. Because I think of, like, the rice bowls or something, like, you know, like, going for rice rounds or something. And I don't know, because I feel like even if you just get change or whatever, like, that's a good thing that you did. Because maybe, you know, usually if the alcoholic's out on the street, that person will probably die if they don't get their alcohol, unless they're at a hospital. So they probably need that alcohol at that point if they're on the street. So, and so, you know, you whatever. I mean, it kind of sucks, but I think that, you know, you're doing a good thing. You know, tell yourself that. Jeez.
And thinking about that question, what came to mind during that meditation for me was a lot of thoughts about my parents and them being a parent. And I think that a lot of it plays with that idea of us and another. But in that sort of generosity, it feels like the relationship itself is what's relevant rather than the person versus me and that I'm giving something. So, like with my parents, a lot of what I felt was that connection, the gift of their time, the gift of their attention. And I think with my kids, a lot of the things that I did that feel generous to me, they aren't even aware of. And so I gave them something, but you know, it wasn't a thanks because there was really no time and place to thank me for that. So, you know, I think that generosity is a way for us to think about, you know, sort of parental mind with those that maybe aren't our parent or aren't our child, and to break down that barrier of giver and receiver and gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know your name.
Amy.
Hi, Amy. I'm Pogetsu.
I think that one of the hardest acts of generosity that I've encountered for myself is the act of self-care.
Mm.
And it's been such a struggle to, you know, to justify to myself, like, that taking care of myself is allowed or appropriate or not selfish. But it's also been one of the things that's probably held truest for my ability to give freely to others as well. You know, I've found that the amount that I limit myself in being able to give to myself is how much I limit myself to being able to give to others freely as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's work in progress.
Kind of interesting, right? There's some kind of reciprocity between giving to self and others.
It's like the more I see it, the more it seems like the how we treat ourselves is how we treat others in some way.
So maybe that's this idea also, or reality of non-separation. You know, that there's actually no separation between self and other, and we make that up. You know, Paula, I really want to also just make a comment about thanking you for sharing that kind of struggle, because, I don't know, maybe other people don't feel it, but I feel resistant sometimes, like, you know, I want that person to, like that gift I give them. What if they're like, okay, throw that in the garbage, you know? And there's, you know, the patience is a paramita to cultivate, kind of dealing with, like, abuse from others. Mm-hmm. So it can feel a little difficult, and that this is limitless, where, you know, kind of the transcendent practice is a limitless practice. And so at some point, I think we're all going to bump up against that, like, I want something out of this. And this is why it's part of our training program, because this illuminates limitation. You know, that's a good thing if we're aware of it. I used to think I was a nice person until I started sitting zazen. And I thought I was generous. And I'm grateful every day for practice being able to illuminate my limitations and encourage me to go a little bit further. Maybe I can give that up a little. I think it's an important... The easy part is when we feel like good and everything's smooth. Give or receive or gift, they're all one. Wow, great. But when it's like, oops, I can't be generous to myself, or I can't find any generosity. Where is this limitation? I want something? Oh. Bodhisattvas, I have a lot to say about generosity. But, and so I don't want to like shortchange you by getting you to speak. So if it's okay, I'd like to just babble a little more. Is that okay?
Thanks. Please.
So meditating on these practices, contemplating these practices, reading, studying, reciting, practicing, having these practices permeate every molecule in your precious body and in the universe is sort of the aspiration. And we'll never know whether that's really happening or not, so it's kind of good. So sort of like, don't worry too much about it. I also would not discount even the smallest gift that we give or receive. Give, you know, there are great stories in Buddhism of people giving like a mud pie in one life and later on attaining enlightenment, or their hairs of their beard as medicine. Yes, some ancient Chinese remedy. And becoming a great being as a result. So I wouldn't worry about it. Any act is pretty good. But traditionally there are three things that are given in Bodhisattva practices, and this comes from Buddhist scripture. There are material gifts, emotional gifts, and spiritual gifts. So you know, we can kind of check ourselves out, what's happening here? You know, are we giving these things? So material gifts are like your traditional alms, food, money, blade of grass, half a mango, a flower, you know, actual material things. And it's said that a bodhisattva gives protection. So you had a great example of protection, right? Mm-hmm. But I think of these as emotional gifts of comfort, of ease, of joy, of blessing. Traditionally, a bodhisattva actually gives protection, but this is talked about as fearlessness. And fears are sometimes thought of as fear of death, fear of loss of livelihood or wealth, fear of strange mental states or dementia, fear of public speaking, fear of sickness. There's also fear of loss of reputation or even fear of the Dharma. Like, you know, it's kind of a shocker if you actually really fully approach the teaching that everything changes, that there's nothing to hold on to, that we don't have a fixed self. You know, that kind of freaks some people out, or so it did, at least in earlier times in Buddhism. Maybe today we're beyond that. But I think if you contemplate on some of these teachings like impermanence, or that life entails dissatisfaction just by virtue of its being, there's some reactions. So bodhisattvas actually help beings be easy with themselves, and that is a gift. And you know, I think everybody here gives that to each other just by sitting together. We support each other through this practice of looking at ourselves. Even a small gesture, a seat on a bus, you know, Paula brought me this little table because my old eyes have a hard time seeing things that are far away. Yeah, it's all over the place. And but we miss it sometimes. So I encourage you to see generosity, that we're constantly giving and receiving. You know, offering incense. When I go to offer incense, I offer incense for the benefit of all beings. So on your behalf, actually, just in case you didn't know that. So I hope I have your permission to do that. And if I don't, I'm sorry, let me know. But there's a sense that in our chants that we do, we make a dedication, we offer our practice to the benefit of the universe. So we're constantly, this whole bodhisattva generosity generator situation is what's going on in our temple. So it's kind of nice, like when stepping in the door of the temple, to think, you know, what can I offer and give today? And so, am I getting some more meditation? And if you notice that, you're like, I think I'll get some enlightenment today. No, but actually I'm offering my presence to the Sangha. I'm humbly offering my ability to receive everybody's generous effort. And those are, you know, you can check your attitude. Like, this is a training program in some respect, to go beyond even our own ideas of what our capacity is to give and receive. Spiritual gifts, you know, again, this merit that we give, the dharma that we share with each other, you know, that's the traditional gift, giving the dharma. But I think we give that in ways that are not using Buddhist terminology. You know, the man who gave protection wasn't saying, on behalf of Buddha, I'm being generous. You know, the simple everyday pieces of life are just resplendent with this kind of giving. So those are just kind of some traditional ideas. I guess I'll just say that a little quotation to share with you, just to revert back to the old days, second or third century, somewhere around there, in the Diamond Sutra. When bodhisattvas give a gift, they should not be attached to a thing. When they give a gift, they should not be attached to anything at all. Now, this is not to make you feel ashamed. It's just stating kind of a truth of Buddha's generosity. But, you know, part of the reason we have these scriptures is to help us check ourselves, like Paula shared with us, of like, oh, maybe I have a little attachment. You know, when we were doing this little bit of visualization or meditation at the beginning of this talk, I was hoping that you could also get in touch with what supports non-greed, but also our own greediness. You know, I think in Dogen it says something like, you know, giving is to be, not to be stingy. You know, because the other side of these things, exploring them, is exploring this kind of capacity we have for stinginess that usually comes from kind of a mind of poverty or a lack of abundance. So things, you know, this cultivating our minds and looking at what's going on, things to look at like attachment and separation and fear, you know, those then are sort of like non-attachment and fearlessness that promote this kind of openness in the world. So all things are kind of happening. Am I supposed to end at like 11?
You can go a little past that.
Okay. So, I've got a 2-minute warning on my watch, but I'll go a little bit longer. Because I just want to say, share an image that I think is really beautiful. And like I said, there's a lot to say about this topic. And I was sort of like going, oh gosh, why did I pick generosity? Because, you know, like everybody knows what that is. But still, after all these years, I feel I am just beginning to scratch the surface. So I can't help myself. I need to share just a little teaching. That's actually a case from the Book of Serenity. This is kind of an image I'd like to leave you with. We don't need to go into it too much. But some Dharma brothers were chatting with each other, kind of like what we're doing with each other, brothers and sisters. And one of them, Yunyan, asked his senior Dharma brother, Daowu, what does the Bodhisattva of compassion do with so many hands and eyes? So we have these images of like many-handed Avalokiteshvara, the bodhisattva of compassion with eyes in their hands. And you're like, what is that all about? And what are they doing with those? So, you know, these guys are walking around thinking about that. You know, maybe they walk by something drawing on the wall with all these eyes and hands, like, what's that? And they're testing each other, too. They're kind of prompting each other and supporting each other's practices, right? They're kind of saying, well, you know, what do you really think about that? And Daowu said, like someone reaching back for a pillow in the night. It's a nice image, you know. There's like not trying to really just get anything, but just naturally, you know, comfort, just emotion. And Yunyan said, oh, I understand, I got it. Daowu said, what did you get? See, there's not let him off the hook so easily. And I would encourage you not to let yourselves off the hook so easily. What did you get? And Yunyan said, all over the body are hands and eyes. Not just, you know, in the arms. Daowu, elder brother, says, man, you said it well. Got about 90%. Maybe 80%. And Yunyan said, well, you know, I'm just this. How about yourself, elder brother? And Daowu said, wherever the body reaches, it is hands and eyes. Or there's another translation I've seen that's throughout the body. Not just all over, but throughout the body are hands and eyes. These are the hands that meet every situation with a kind of love and wisdom and response without hesitation, right? So first we can kind of see where we're limited, and we don't judge that, or if we do, we let go of the judgment, and then we ask, can we do a little bit more? It's another eye and hand appears. Maybe a little more, another eye and hand. Until, before you know it, every pore of your body, every breath that you take, is infused with gift-bestowing hands, naturally responding to the world with compassion and wisdom beyond what you can imagine. And I have no doubt that we're all capable of this. So I'll invite a couple minutes of comments. We can probably continue later as well if we want, but thank you very much, Bodhisattvas. Your words are welcome. Thank you, Tenzo.
Well, just thank you for your generous talk. The subtlety of giving, you know, it seems, it's obvious we've all given gifts and received gifts, but, you know, you help point us to the subtlety of what's going on when we give, what's going on when we receive, where am I holding on to, oh, that was a great gift, or, you know, anyway. So there's a real practice, all of these practices are real practices. Are things to study. So, to really study, as you indicated, how is it when we give? How is it when we receive? So, thank you for your generosity.
And these are kind of stingy times. You know? I mean, things are tough for everybody. And when a gesture of generosity goes out there, I think it has an impact. And there's, you know, ripples in the pond kind of thing. And the you know, for example, if I'm paying a toll, sometimes I'm thinking, well, maybe I should pay the toll for the following four or five people. I've never done that yet, but I mean, it's been, that would really put a nice vibe out there, as they would say in the 70s, you know, kind of thing.
I've done that, but I've also received it where I go to a toll booth and, oh, they paid for you. Who? I don't know that. It's actually kind of a fun little thing to do.
Yeah. So the, but yeah, those are, I think, kind of like street theater things in a way that, you know, that have a nice vibe, put on a nice vibe there, so.
The performance art of the Bodhisattva.
Performance art, I guess.